The Malm is on page 4, 901. We have the pasuk Tezayin, Oz. Okay, Oz, 901. The Gei Chizayon Lahamalbum. The Valley of Vision for the Malbum. On page 901, Tezayin, Oz, Return Lema. Av Yerashim Hamamitim Shein Oivdim Almanasakam Pros. The true Yirei Shemayim. There are Yirei Shemayim, different level, different madrigals of Yirei Shemayim. Are you real, true Yirei Shemayim? There's not, he's coming over to Teich to translate the meaning of a real Yirei Shemayim. He does not serve Hashem, Almanasakam Pros. He does not serve Hashem for the purpose of receiving reward. Heim Nidru Gam Kein Devadim Wa Ele Ish El Rei Ehu. They speak to one another, they communicate with each other. And they listen carefully to what the people are saying, and they basically draw a conclusion. The people that are disturbed, and people are disturbed with the fact that in this world the wicked prosper. Tzadik viraloi rosha v'tovla. The tzaddikim, the Yirei Shemayim, do not deny that this is in fact, that's the fact. That's a very important thing. Because sometimes, you know, you'll hear people, they'll argue and they'll tell you it's not true. What you're saying is not true. There are two ways to respond to a complaint. Number one, you can say that it's not true. Your complaint is false. You manipulated the data. The data has been manipulated, it's not correct. Or you can say, no, what you're saying is correct. The facts are correct. Your interpretation of the facts, that is what is not correct. And that is what the Malbim here is saying. The Malbim is saying it's a very important principle. The Apikorsim make a very good point. You can't challenge the facts that the Apikorsim present. Tzadik viraloi rosha v'toivloi. Many people, you know, it's interesting. This point the Malbim is making is very disturbing almost, because many times you hear Rabbanim, or you hear Rosh Yeshivas, and they say that the arguments that people are making, it's just not true. The facts are not true. And you know, that's not always so simple. It's not always so simple to say that what people say is not true. You say, oh, the wicked always succeed. So you'll hear people, no, they don't. The wicked, they succeed temporarily. Maybe for a couple, maybe in the short term, but in the long term, the wicked fall. Is that really correct? Is it really true to say that, you know, the wicked, yeah, so they make a lot of noise. Empty cans make a lot of noise, but eventually the wicked will collapse. Over here, the Malm seems to be saying that's not necessarily true. This is very dangerous territory we're going into. The Balaam seems to be saying, "Is no, the wicked, they do survive. They'll survive for generations. Their wealth, they're untouchable, and they destroy the world. And you have to acknowledge that the wicked do, to a degree, really succeed in this world."
Like to say, crime doesn't pay.
Crime doesn't pay. Crime does pay. they walk away with money. They get away with it. They get away with it, and they live long lives. You always have these Nazis, they try them, how they're 100 years old, 99 years old. Wow, they lived to such a ripe old age and nothing happened to them. They had a good life, they had this, they had that. So what are you going to say that, you're going to say, no, they lived a horrible life? Over here, the Malm here says, one more time these words, Ritzon Eloimar, Aval Yirei Hashem Ha'amitiyim. The true Yirei Shemayim, She'ein Oivdim Al Manas L'Kabel Pros, they don't serve Hashem for the purpose that of receiving reward. Heim Nidru Gam Kein Devarim Ho'el Ish El Rei Eyu. They discuss these issues. V'hoichichu Mizeh. And they prove from the conversation that they have with one another listening to the Apikorsim, She'ho'olam Hazeh'enoi Olam Hagmul V'ho'inesh. It's not a world where people get what they deserve. The wicked indeed succeed, the tzaddikim, unfortunately, they don't always come out ahead. Rak, the entire world from beginning to end is rak oilam hanisayon. It's a world where we are challenged. The ali dezeh, and through this, the be'atzmai
shatzadikim
me'unim. Yeah, that's what he's saying.
Yeah.
And shatzadikim me'unim bo'ilam hazeh, they are afflicted. They don't serve Hashem in order to, because they're afraid of punishment and they're yearning for reward. Rak miyiras Hashem haremimus. They serve Hashem l'shem shemayim, regardless of what the consequences are. They do not yearn for reward in this world. And this is acceptable. This is the greatest satisfaction to Hashem, that Hashem knows what is in their minds. And this is what it says in our pasuk of Vayakshev. He listens, he hearkens, he listens. Even though at the end of the day Hashem does not repay them, does not reward them for their goodies in this world, Hashem writes their deeds in a special book of remembrance before him. This that they have stood in their muna. Hagam shematzu oisam reois rabos v'tzois, even though they suffered very much, noida Hashem yirei Hashem, this makes it known that true yirei Hashem lo yireim yiras atzmam shu yiras ha'inish. They're not afraid of punishment. Rak yiras Hashem yiras ha'roinimus.
What is
yiras atzmam means that they're afraid for their height. That if they go and do an avera, they're going to suffer. If I do an avera, so Hashem's going to cause me pain and suffering. That's not why they serve Hashem.
Okay.
Because the truth is, just because the person does an avera does not mean he's going to suffer. Look around. Many people are extremely, extremely wicked, and they don't suffer. They have very good lives. They have very loved. Why then do they serve Hashem? What are they afraid of? They're just in awe. They serve Hashem 100% L'shem Shemayim. V'sh'einim choshem ba'avodasim ba'avod gemol v'socher. When they do a mitzvah, it's not because they expect that it's investment, that in the future Hashem will reward them with nachas and good long life and health. That's not their attitude. Rak l'kadesh shmo ha'miyuchad. They serve Hashem for one purpose, to sanctify Hashem's name. V'heim o'evdim shlo al manas l'chal pros. Not to receive reward. So here, the Malbim over here is putting a very dark parish, not dark parish, an exalted parish, but he's saying that this world have zero expectations. It must be because the Malbim himself had a very difficult life. The Malbim did not have an easy life. The Malbim, I don't remember the whole biography of the Malbim, the Malbim had to run around the world. He was very unsettled. He had a lot of problems in his own life.
He got divorced, I think, at a very, very young age.
He had a lot of tsars, the Malbim. Can he come to America? Was the Malbim in America at one point?
I don't know.
I think the Malbim came to America. Also, the Malbim had a very, very difficult life. It's interesting that like the Barbanel, Rabbi Yossi can testify that the Barbanel, the whole life experience of these very exalted people, is reflected in their writings, in their interpretation of the pasuk. The way what life has dealt them, they read into the psukim. And if they have a sour experience in this world of a lot of suffering, so when they analyze Tanakh and they give a commentary on Tanakh, they're going to tell it to you the way they experienced it. The Malbim had a very hard time. So the Malbim reads this pasuk, Oz Nidru Yirei Hashem Ishalu Eyu Vayakshav Hashem Vayishama. So that the person with a very difficult life and saw a lot of suffering and saw the wicked prosper, he's going to say, this world is nothing. Have zero expectations in this world for good, yeah?
I think the opposite is also true. I think that most tzaddikim have a very good life here, physically and spiritually.
I don't know about that.
Everybody has their own closet, I understand that.
Right.
But everybody, Baruch Hashem, we have a livelihood. We have jobs.
In America.
Yeah, that's
okay. Right.
Have a very happy life. Yeah.
You don't really know what's doing by someone else. Everyone has their peckle, and no one knows what's really doing by somebody else. The only thing you know is yourself. Every single person has issues. Every single person carries a peckle, carries
a lot of
everyone, and people somehow they adjust, they adapt, they accept or they don't accept, and they just don't have a choice most of the time. And when other people hear about what you're going through, they're in awe. they're just like, wow, you're dealing with this issue. I wouldn't survive a day. I wouldn't survive a day dealing with what you're dealing. And when we look at other people, we say the same thing about them. I can't believe what they're dealing with. Had it been me, I couldn't survive a day. I don't know how this all works. So everyone is different. And the Malm over here, he's giving a very dark parish in this pasuk. He says it explicitly that in this world have zero expectations. Person does a mitzvah, you serve Hashem l'shem shemayim, have zero expectations, anything's gonna get better. Don't have, and just serve Hashem 100% l'shem shemayim. This is not the world of reward and punishment. It's that's in another world. And that is something that's almost impossible for us to relate to because we don't know what goes on in the next world. But we have to have emunah. It's all a matter of emunah. On the other hand, there are going to be people that are going to tell you, no, I had a good life. When I was young, I had a very hard time. I had a great nisyonos. I couldn't. Shabbos was a big nisyon, and I didn't know what to eat. And now look, I'm surrounded by all my great grandchildren. Life is wonderful. You see, it's kedai to be a yirei shemayim. Look, I was unben nisyon. Look at the reward Hashem gave me later in my life. So good for him. So good. He was zoicha to have. For every one person.
Okay.
It's attitude to be happy with what you have. But for every one story where everything works out just right. Perfectly, you'll have 100 stories with exactly the same bits of information, and it didn't work out so well. That's the criticism of a lot of these
because
emunah.
Of their attitude.
What?
To get their attitude.
Okay, it's right, their attitude. But even people who have a very, very good attitude, you could have two people who have a very, very good attitude, and one person, years later, he in the eyes of the world, he was extremely, he prevailed and became extremely successful, and the other person who appeared to have exactly the same good attitude at the end of his life, he doesn't have very much. He has a good attitude. At the end of his life, he's having his makabel, but you can't go say that he was rewarded. No. They both started out together. They both started out in exactly the same situation. They both were moise nefesh together. And one person, go fast forward, let's say 50 years later, one person in the eyes of the world, wow, he has 100 grandchildren, he has 1,000 great-grandchildren, I'm just making up these numbers. What?
And he can still be miserable.
No, he's not. Let's say you see people, they're not miserable. They're relatively speaking, everything seems pretty good and they're very happy.
You don't really know what's going on.
You don't know what's going on. You don't really know. You don't know nothing.
It was the best story I ever had happen to me. I was in Eretz Yisrael many years ago and I answered the phone for my sister-in-law. Mm-hmm. This woman gets on the phone and says, I said, no, that's my brother, not me. I just want to tell you, thank you so much. Tell them thank you so much that, you know, his daughter was able to babysit for us and whatever. And she goes on and she says, you live in Chutzlar. It's so beautiful here. It's so amazing. How can you not live in there? It's the most wonderful. And she's going on flying. You believe she's living in a palace. In a palace. My sister-in-law comes home. I said, so-and-so, of course. She goes, she cool. I go, why? She lives in a mahsan. She doesn't have a phone. How could she have called you? I said, she sounded like she was living in a palace.
Attitude. Okay, you're right. I don't know the answer, but the Malm over here, he's writing a very dark picture of this world. And he writes here, I have zero expectations of anything. On the other hand, you people say...
He lived into the times of the Muskegon, I think.
He lived in a very hard life. I don't know the people, he had a very hard life.
He was fired more than once.
He had a very hard life, but
he was too frum for them.
And
he's
not saying very nice things about this world. He says over here pretty clearly that ki ein mikavim socha ba'olam hazeh al avodasam. There is absolutely no expectation, nothing, zero. On the other hand, you look at other mafarshim, they say no, just stay the course. You're gonna see the wicked, they're gonna collapse, and the tzaddikim are going to prevail. You're gonna see just. Stay the course. People have different experiences in this world.
There's just no hard and fast.
There's no rule. There are no rules. It's just interesting that you see that the person's life experience is reflected in their commentary, in their works. And the Malbim over here is not a happy camper. And the Barbanel certainly is not a happy camper. And his parish is a very, very, very almost crude approach.
In a lot of places, you know, the Rebbe would have gotten thrown out of yeshiva.
From what he said.
Going home and saying, you know, when I learned yeshiva there, they say,
100%. Even exactly.
Look, Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't figure it out either.
Tzadik v'raloi. But Moshe Rabbeinu, would you say it was so bad? Moshe Rabbeinu has quite a legacy. Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, so Moshe Rabbeinu, at the end of the day, he prevailed. Moshe Rabbeinu, okay, you know, to each his own. To each his own. We have your apostate, and we talk about the Yirei Shemayim. We have a lot of the words here. Nidbiru Yirei Hashem Yisho
Re'eim. Barbanel had it pretty good. I mean, he was like the treasurer, I think, or something. He was very
well, he had it good, but he was a big come down for him at the end.
Threw him out. They threw him out
of the end. He was thrown out of Spain, then he was thrown out of Portugal, then he went through. The only thing that you could see in his writing that he's consistent, because he did all of his writing at the end of his life. Everything. He wrote, you know, he said he dates everything that he wrote. Yoshua took him 2 weeks to write the whole parish on Yoshua. He said it took him 2 weeks.
Wow.
Imagine. And then even when he died in Italy, when he was in Italy, he started doing a lot of writing, but then he was smoked out that he was such a brilliant financier that they came, somebody said, you know who you have over here and you're letting him sit and wasting away here? And they co-opted him to run the finances in Italy too. He wrote his own autobiography he wrote himself that he criticized himself for not believing that he would get thrown out as a Jew. That's what he says in the beginning of Lech Lecha, gives the whole thing out, which in the end result is, I thought it would never come back to haunt me, but I was just another stinking Jew.
Right.
Okay, let's go further. Now we go to Pasuk Yitzayin, V'hoyu Pasuk, V'hoyu Li Oma Hashem Tzvokos, Pasuk Yitzayin. Pasuk Yitzayin, V'hoyu Li Oma Hashem Tzvokos, Li Oma Hashem Tzvokos, Ani Yitzayin Segula, Shi'uroi, the meaning of the shiur means the meter, or the motif of this Pasuk. Hashem will make a treasure house, a segula.
That's why the Jews went for the segulas.
They went for the segulas, all the segulas. Okay, that's right. The yisem li am segula, a nation of segulas. Okay, go put a red band around your arm and Erev Yom Kippur, you Daf Yomi yesterday. I told those on the Daf Yomi, their eyes were popping out. I thought I was nuts. Daf Yomi yesterday was about the Erev Yom Kippur, the only day of the year that you're not allowed to fast. There's only one day a year that you're not allowed to have a Tainus Chaloyim. One day, Erev Yom Kippur. Ta'anu es nafsha, v'nis nafsha, es nafsha sechem, b'tisha l'chodesh v'erev. Is it tisha or is it erev? So the Gemara says, that kol ho'echel, b'tisha kilu hisame, b'tisha, on the ninth day of the 10th day. So I told them, you know, and I'm an anti-school person, I told them, you know, the school you have to eat on erev, that you should wash and bench 7 times. Erev Yom Kippur.
Seven times.
So their eyes were popping as segula. The yisem li segula, an am segula, a
so
nation.
Taka,
you're right. Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. If you Taka, you watch 7 times.
This was written by Chiffon.
You're right. If you're saying good point. You're saying that we should Taka to Shabbos. Sometimes segula can touch upon the bracha Hashem Tzrifa. You're right. It's a halachic. How could there be such a school that's not normal? There's shleg derech ha'olam, and therefore why should not be considered a bracha Hashem Yitzricha? You make a very good point. When a segula really comes over the border of halacha, it violates halacha. He's saying, good. Darkei Hormori. Okay, what about kaparas? Is kaparas a violation of Darkei Hormori? Not so simple. So take a bird and swing it around your head, and zed tumuras is zech lifasi, some kabbalahi nikaba. But if it's not Yom Kabbalah, so what's going on over here? There's an Isser Daraisa of Uvechukah Simloy Selechu. So you're right, a skula sometimes touches the border of a violation of halacha. You go on Shabbos, you wear a red band around your arm in a place where there is no Erev. Why isn't that called carrying? Is that a violation of halacha? First, bikuach nefesh, so you go to the old child, a person was a woman was in labor, and there was a big famous, so they wanted to write a kameya, on Shabbos. Are you allowed to be machalil Shabbos to write an amulet so that the woman will give birth? So what are you doing? It's Chil Shabbos. To write an amulet is Chil Shabbos. Are you allowed to go do this because you believe it's bikuach nefesh? These are, you know, where do we draw the line? Let's move ahead. We have here a segula. So we go over here. Yeah, Hashem oitzel lachem segula v'otzem segula yolam chushen v'oshav v'mayavakin yu segula l'Hashem. Every act of expression of Yirah Shamayim is something that Kadosh Baruch Hu puts away in his debate. Yiza, ain like Kadosh Baruch Hu ela oitzel shel Yirah Shamayim. Hashem has in his treasure house. Hashem has in his oitzel chazas an oitzel shel Yirah Shamayim. Every act of Yirah Shamayim is recorded and stored in Hashem's treasure house. Kaini v'chini kamlu school of oitzel nechmad. Then we see oitzel nechmad. Turning the page 903. V'chamalti aleihem kasho yachmoli shal b'nah ha'oved oitzoi. What does this mean? Ritzoinoi loymar. This means to say shal oved oya poil ha'oved b'avur sachar yishamul sachar takef. A person,
what
page 903, page 903 in the Malbum.
The very top line.
The Chamalti Aleichem Kasha Yachmol Yishal B'noi Ha'ivrei. So, Ritzon Olemar, Sha'ivir Ayah Poel Ha'ivir Bavur Socher Yishalmu Loi Socher Otekim. This is unbelievable to over here. He says over here that a person who works for reward. So he seems to be saying that this is what the way you look at this world. If I serve you, Hashem, for reward, you know what? Hashem will give you reward in this world. But you have to realize you're forfeiting something much greater in the next world. Aval, habeinu oved es aviv me'ava, a child that serves his father me'ava, lo yishalim lo tekef, he does not receive the reward immediately. Rak yasal et skula, the father makes a trust fund for the child. Puts away the money in a trust fund for years later. Shiel kayim ledor dorim, v'shelo yav yeovad, and it should not be destroyed. Keino oivdim me'ahava, shloy bavur tikva socher, lo yitein lochem socher bo'olam hazeh, shu olam oiver, v'yia gam ha-socher oiver. Hashem gives the word in this world and the money will be gone. Rak yeetzor es ha-socher lo seis lochem be'osit. Hashem puts away the reward for the next world. Bo'olam ha-nitzchi, in the eternal world, Shayil Asar Hagul, and it's built about Tachla. So he's saying we're an incredible Kiddush, the Rabbah. The Malmo we are saying is that first he starts out by telling us over here is that this world is hopeless. There's nothing you can possibly expect. Then he goes and he interprets the next Pasuk saying is that Hashem rewards a person according to his attitude. And the person does Torah mitzvahs with the expectation, I'm only going to serve you, Hashem, I'm only going to get early in Davin, I'm only going to learn, I'm only going to do mitzvahs because Hashem, I want you to pay me back. It's an investment. I want that you should give me parnasa, you should give me good health, you should give me nachas. Then Hashem will listen. Hashem will reward you at some point in time in your lifetime. Hashem will provide you reward. But if a person serves Hashem 100% l'shma, then Hashem will not give you reward in this world. Your good deeds are put away for safekeeping in the oitzar, in the treasure house. And the reward will be in the next world, similar to the relationship between a father and a child. A father, if a child says to his dad, "Dad, I'm going to be a good boy. I'll get 100 on my test. If I demand that you'll give me $100. If I get a good mark, you give me $100." So the father, okay, fine. If that's what it takes, that's what we'll do. You're going to be a good boy for money. I'll give you the money. Okay, so the child works hard, he gets the money. And then you have a child who doesn't make demands of his parents. He's just a good kid. So the father has so much nachas. What does the father do? The father takes a chunk of his wealth and he sets up an endowment fund so that the kid, when he gets older and he has his own children and he really needs the money for important things in life, he should have the money. He should have, how old will he have? Good morning. He's not just going to have $100. He's going to have a significant amount of money for something much, much more valuable later in life. The kid's a brat. and a nasty kid. The father can't wait to get rid of him, you know, so he gives him little gifts here and there just to push him along. But he has no great love for him to go and look out, seek out his good and welfare in the long term, in the future. But a child that you really care about, you work hard to help him be established in the long term. Same thing. If a person has an attitude towards Hashem of give me, and to make deals, let's make a deal. I'll do this if you'll do this. Okay. B'derech sha'adam leilech meilichin oisai. If this is your attitude, Hashem is your mirror. He is your shadow. Fine. That's how you want to live your life. You want tit for tat. You want reward. I'll give you your reward in this world, but if you serve me with sincerity, with the proper way, then the result will be a person's not going to see reward in this world. The ultimate reward will be in the next world. It's a very novel interpretation, and that's how we learn Zohar Pshat in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, "V'shaftem v'chamalti aleichem ka'asher yachamol." Ish al benoy hoived oisai. A father does not reward his child for every deed that he does. Instead, the father prepares big things for the child. He prepares for the future in the oitzar. That's what he interprets as part. No one over here on the page says such a pshat to explain such a very this concept of don't expect our relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu is. Bonim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem. Bonim, you don't get a paycheck. A servant, a slave, you get a paycheck. When the day is over, you get paid. When the week is over, you get paid. But a child is no paycheck. You're a child, and the ultimate love comes at the very end. Next words in the Malbim.
Schar mitzvah. They just have an opportunity
to do more mitzvahs. You have an opportunity. Schar mitzvah. The ultimate schar in this world is schar mitzvah. Is mitzvah. In the reverse. What do you mean by reverse?
The Rosh gets paid off.
Right. The Rosh, because the Rosh makes demands. The Rosh is always demanding.
Hashem does not want any. He's rewarded for each of the things that are good that he does to clear the books for what comes.
Exactly.
After.
If you want a nickel and dime, Hashem, he'll give you your nickels and your dimes in this world, and there'll be nothing left for the next world. Exactly. Pasuk, that concludes over here. Let's go. We finished the Malbim. Okay, next. Pasuk Yudches. Now we go to one more Pasuk in the Malbim. Pasuk Yudches, page 903. In the Malbim, Pasuk Yudches v'shaftem. Oz then, Toshuvu el ha'olam hazeh al yidei shetokumu b'tchiyas ha'meisim. The Malbim is learning a novel translation of the word v'shaftem. V'shaftem u'isem, he learns, means after t'chiyas ha'meisim. The neshamos of the dead will return. You will return to this world, yidei shetokumu b'tchiyas ha'meisim u'isem. You will see a hevdel. You will see the difference between tzadik l'rosha v'gam bein hatzadikim atzmam. Tiru have dealt in unbelievable how we learn from the Pasuk. First it says you're going to see an internet static in the Russia. The next expression, Pasuk Yudches Bein Oyved Elokim L'Asher Loi Avodoi, with subdividing among the tzadikim. There are two types of tzadikim. There's a tzadik that serves Hashem, Avved Elokim, and there is a tzadik, he's a tzadik. But this tzadik is called L'Asher Loi Avodoi. How could that possibly be a tzaddik koloy avodah? So he explains, you will see the difference between oyved elokim l'asher loy avodah. We turn to l'mar bein mish avad me'ava shetachlis avodah so hoyu lo avodes elokim. The one that the oyved elokim means oyved me'ava, and the one that says l'asher loy avodah means he does not serve Hashem from ahava, but only serves from yira. Ubein oyved mitikvas kemul v'yiras oynish. Those that do not serve Ma'al, but do serve Hashem out of hope for reward and fear of punishment. Not like the one that serves Hashem honestly, that's without expectation of reward. There's a difference between a hired worker and a servant. A hired worker expects to be paid bo bayom, When the day is over, I expect to see my paycheck. A servant doesn't expect anything. A servant lives in this, in the home. He's a servant, and this is what his essence is, to serve. Uva avoida al manas l'kabel pras ikor avoida hu, b'shvil atzmoy. Loi b'shvil l'avoid es elikim. You're serving yourself. A person that serves for reward, you're serving yourself. If I do this, I get money. I'm able to buy some toys. But someone who serves, but a person who serves l'shem shamayim, I'm not serving myself, I'm serving my master. What is the difference between this pasuk, between the tzaddik and the oved? Ella, the answer is, oved v'loy avodoy, the one that serves, one that does not serve, tarvayu tzaddikei, gamiri havin. They're both tzaddikim. At the end of the day, they both have done what they're supposed to do. The only difference is, ella eino doyme ha-shoyneh, what's the difference? Someone learns 101 times, that shows a love, ahava. Someone only says 100 times, you finish the quota. You finish the required amount. 100 times, he's coming saying, you're chiddush. Is that a person, Chazal said, someone who learns 100, 101. So simply, they always told us in yeshiva means, every single time you learn, you review the Gemara again, you gain a new insight. Sure. So he's not saying that. That's also true, but he's saying is once you reviewed something 100 times, it's very unlikely, theoretically, even though what I'm saying is not true, that you're going to gain any new insight. If you already studied this section 100 times, you've reached the max. There's nothing new, al derech hateva, you're going to discover. There's no new insight that you're going to discover after going through it 100 times. So what then is the purpose? Why then would you want to go learn 101 times? Because that goes to show that you really love this. You really enjoy it. It really gives you pleasure. If you're going to stop after 100 times, that's a statement, this is my duty. I have an obligation to serve, to know this material. I'm taking the test tomorrow. I have to know this. I couldn't care less about this material, but I need to know this for whatever reason. I've studied it 100 times. I've mastered the material. There's nothing more that I need to do. Al derech hateva. I'm done. Now it's time to enjoy myself. So that means you're serving meyira. You're serving yourself. But if you're going to study it one more time, 101 times, knowing that you're not going to gain anything new, it's only because you really enjoy, you love. There's an avoida me'ahava, like money. People, they look at their investment accounts, they look at their bank accounts, they look at, what are you looking? You know how much there was. What are you looking at it for? You know how much money is there. Well, you want to go see if there's another dollar? Another dollar? It went up. One more dollar? What are you doing? Checking your money every single 5 minutes. The answer is, you love money. You're doing it not because you need to know, not the knowledge. In fact, it's damaging, it's distracting, it's wasting your time. But you just love money.
If you love money. If you do it because you're already loving, maybe you're doing it for yourself. You're doing it because you're serving Hashem. Hashem wants you to do it.
Right, you love it. You
not
love to serve Hashem.
Not yourself.
Do you love yourself or do you love yourself?
Loving Hashem. Because you... That's what Hashem wants.
So that's what he's
coming. You want to give an achas ruach
to Hashem, right?
Not because you love learning. I'm just the same thing.
I mean, it's all the same thing, right? That's all. I think it's all
you're doing it because it's all
connected. These are connected. It's true.
Yeah.
But he's giving us a whole loop shot. He's saying because again, like I told you, in yeshiva when they tell you this concept of that any time a mishnah should pick a meyapamim, a mishnah should pick a meyavyachapamim, they'll always tell you every single time you learn the Gemara, you're going to gain new insight. There's a new nikuda. A new idea that you're going to understand. That's true, but he's saying something. He says something explicitly, something very different. It's you've reached a point already where there's nothing new to discover. It's not true, but
you're not doing it for yourself.
It's just the love.
Right. This is who I am. This is what I love to do. So you'll do it even though it's not necessary. Okay, like food. Why do you eat dessert? Is it really good for you to eat the dessert? Why do you eat dessert? Why do you eat dessert? You've already eaten a Shabbos Sugya, a full meal. Full meal, you've
there's
already,
always
there's enough
dessert,
nutrients, vitamins, minerals. You have done, your body is fully satisfied. So what are you eating this piece of cake? This is poison. This is literally poison. Why are you doing it? It's not because you need, you're going to gain anything new by eating it. You just love it. I love it. I love I have food. You love yourself. You don't love it. Exactly. You love yourself. You want to give yourself satisfaction. That's the same thing over here. Let's continue. Okay, that's it. That concludes the Malbim. So I've gone to the Malbim Rashi, the Mesudas and Radak. Now let's take a look over here at the words of Likudei Shas, the Mamori Chazal. There are a few beautiful Mamori Chazal. Pasuk back on page 900. Page 900. Pasuk. What letter in the Aleph is the gematria of 100? It is the Tzadi Sofis. The Tzadi Sofis. There are 27 letters. There are 27 letters. Aleph through Tav is 1 through 400. What comes after 400? The Chaf Sofis. The end Chaf. What's the end Chaf? That is 500. Then comes the end Mem. That is 600. Then comes the end Nun. That is 700. Then comes the end Hey. That is 800. And then the end Tzadi is 900. And then what comes next? Aleph. What is Aleph? Aleph. 1,000. The letters of the Aleph base are circular. You start with 1. You go from Aleph to Yud. You go to 10. From Yud until Kuf, you go from 10 to 100. And then you have Resh, Shin, Tav, 100, 200, 300, 400. And then you have the five end letters, which give you 500, 600, 700, 800, and 900. And then what comes next? You go back to the beginning. What's the beginning? Aleph, Al-Tikri, Aleph, Eleph. So really, the Aleph base is really one big circle. And here we are, we're at the last letter of the Aleph base. Beng HaKafis, letter, page 900. 900, Pasuk Tezayim, Oz Nidbiru Yirei Hashem Yishal Re'eu V'yakshav Hashem Yishma V'yishma V'yikaseh V'sev V'zikor L'fon L'Yirei Hashem L'chosh V'yishma Minayin L'shnayim Shliz the famous says in Pirkei Avos Minayin L'shnayim Sheyoshvim V'oizkim B'Torah. How do you know even two people? The Gemara, they go through a whole list. You have 10 people, 5 people, 3 people, and then it says even 2 people. How do you know if 2 people they're learning b'chavrusa? Minayin l'shnayim sheyoshvin v'oiskin b'toyra sheshchina imohem shenemar oz nidberu yirei Hashem ish el re'ehu v'yakshev Hashem and Hashem listens. It's a very beautiful thing. Teacher over here that in yeshivas, it's interesting that you know, I remember in Brooklyn, when I was a little kid and in Lower East Side, I remember the library of the Lower East Side, it still exists. The library, the public library, I used to go there a lot. The public library, what? Right next to, there's a nursing home, right? It was right next to the nursing home. Is the nursing home still there? On East Broadway.
I know what you mean.
Right.
That was the very first building in New York that had an elevator.
We used to go there all the time. We used to go there, and what's in the library? Quiet. Quiet. It's like you walk into a bank. Quiet. Don't. If your voice is audible, you're in trouble. And then I remember in Brooklyn College, and they spent $40 million on a new library when I was before. They remember the old library. Quiet. Then they spent, I think it was $40 million. It's magnificent. The library in Brooklyn College, they redid the whole library. Unbelievable. Unbelievable what they did over there. That was years ago. I've been there a long time. Quiet. Everything has to be quiet. You go to Beis Medrash, it's deafening. It's deafening. In a Beis Medrash, you go to any yeshiva, you can't even hear yourself. It's a roar. Isn't it amazing? The difference between Klal Yisrael and Umos Yisraelim. Where does it come from? At this point in my life, I can't take it. I can't handle it. I cannot handle going, it's just too much. It's just too much. I like quiet. I like this room over here. Quiet.
If I'm talking to you, you can tune it out.
To a degree, it depends. A lot about taller though. So, the problem is today, everyone today is
sure.
Walking around, drinking coffee, smoking on the smartphone. No matter, it depends where you go. But what's the pshat? It comes from this pasuk. It has to be that this pasuk, Chazal tell us in Pirkei Avos, is the method of learning. The technique of learning Torah is not just to sit, yoshev, bodod, vayidai. It's not just a sit and look at the walls. We all know that. And when a person has the conversation, the concepts, clarity comes forth. Oz nidviru yirei Hashem ish el re'eyu. This pasuk, the end of Lach, is describing the method of Talmud Torah. Okay, the pshuta shel mikra, we're discussing here apikorsis. We're discussing here Oz, it's a response to apikorsis. We have over here in the previous psukim that literally the greatest apikorsis in the entire Tanakh probably appears in the previous psukim. The ideas, the concepts, and then Oz nidru yirei Hashem yishlo reyeyu. And what do they reject the apikorsis. That is the pshuto shel mikra. Chazal says something entirely different. Talmud Torah. This pasuk is discussing shor shenogach es hapara. And you know the truth is? Elu, the truth is, that's the how you indeed reject apikorsis. By learning about a shor, shenogach es hapara, what a shor, today there's no oxen walking around the street. These things, what are you talking about? Yet it's magic. It's magic. Learning a daf gemara. You live at ancient concepts, the shor, the bar, hamar. You learn about ancient concepts. There is so much sanctity and there is so much truth in the words of the Torah, even as irrelevant as it is to today's society. You learn the Mishnayis, Masechet Oilos, Masechet Negoim. What is Negoim? You want to know about Baheres, Kegris, Kehadosha, Pisyoin. These concepts are totally irrelevant on the surface in today's day and age. Yet, the sanctity, the Kedusha, in these words, is a guarantee for Yiras Shamayim. It changes your whole life. It's an unbelievable concept. And I really believe that this Maamar Chazal over here is precise. On the one hand, we learned over here in Pasuk Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet, Tezov, the most shocking words of apikorsis. Hashem, Chosko Lai Divreichem. And what do you say? Shav Avoid Elokim. Umabetza. What benefit is there for Hashem? What do we get out of this? Ki Shamarta Mishmarto, the world tells us you're backwards people. I mean, over here, these are, and you know what? We might as well, if you can, beat them, join them. So what do you do? How do you respond to that? Well, you want to go and have a debate? You want to have a disputation? A disputation? Today, no one's having a disputation with the Christians. You know why? Because they don't know what they're talking about. There's no one to talk. But yet, the apikorsis out there is just, there's no one even to talk to. And what is the solution? You know what the solution is? A daf gemara. A daf, are you joking? A daf gemara? What does shor shenogach esapara have to do with the apikorsis in the world? It's magic. It's just somehow magical. The kedusha, the inherent kedusha that is hidden in the words of a daf gemara is the response to what's going on out there in the world of Chozku Olai Divreichem. Oz, when you hear words of apikorsis, open up Pirkei Avos and look at the Maamar Chazal that it says in this pasuk. Minayin, that two people sitting in the Beis Medrash, anywhere in the world, and they're talking and learning about what? About Negoim V'Olais, Shor Shenogach HaSapara, things that are so far removed from modern day society, that is the response, Oz, to the words, the previous words, Amartem Shav Avoid Elokim. That's the response. It's incredible. There's a smichus akra, the juxtaposition of these two concepts of the Maamari Chazal to the Pshuta Shel Mikra in this context is unbelievable. I mean, that one we're talking about was over here in Chazal, the bottom of page 900, very bottom, we're not in Shishul Shem, Shiyoshim, Vaiskim, Vatarish, Shishkini, Mohem, Shenemar, two people sitting and learning. Oz, Nidbru, Yirei Hashem, Yishol Reyeu, Vayakshev Hashem, Uminai, and then he goes on to the next one, Ranch, Afilu, Echad, Shreish, Vaiskim, Vatarish, Shishkini, Mohem, Shenemar, Bechol, Hamog, Masher, Azki, Yashmi, Ovei, Lecha, Veratich, Vichim, Yachad, Afilu, Tachad, Trem, Mibayo. So, Frektigmar, if once already Hashem is present, if we have one person living and learning, so what is the benefit then of having two people learning? Trey. So here comes what it says now, Pasuk over here. Trey, two people, Michasvon Milayu. When two people learn together, their words are recorded. B'sefer ha-zichroinos. Chad loy mikasvon milay b'sefer ha-zichroinos. So what is the deep meaning of that concept? It's very simple. The ability to be machadish. If a person learns a daf gemara, you learn it on your own. No, you read the gemara, you read it again, you read it again. What are the chances that you will bring out in your own private learning a novel idea, an insight, a chiddush that's roy, that is worthy of being recorded and published and printed and preserved in the bookcase over here for the world to see? Very little. You can learn the Daf Gemara 1,000. We all know this. We all know this. We don't have to prove this scientifically. We all know this from experience. If you learn the Daf, and you learn, and you read the Gemara again, and you chazer, and chazer, and chazer, and you take Dirshu exams, and you know it inside out, excellent. You know the material. When you give a shir, and you have to say it over to someone, or you learn it b'chavrusa, and there's something that is just not right, and you speak it out, it's magic. Hashem, yeah, it's like Ruach HaKodesh. Through the give and take, Hashem puts in your mind ideas, novel ideas. And you discuss this with it. And then you have, wow, this is a chiddush. This is something you're not going to find in the Masifta. You're not going to find in a new idea, a new principle, a chiddush. It's roy, it's worthy of being preserved in a sefer hazikaron. And before you turn around, you go to the bookstore, you go to Bigelizen, and there it is. Someone published a sefer, chidushim, on the, you know, it's go link the Bigelizen. Who puts out, who are the ones, this is the fact, who are the people that put out svar? 90% of the svar that are published are from people who give shiurim. People who are magidish shir, people daf yomi magidim, or rashi yeshivis, they give shiurim, and they publish svar. Why only the people who give the shia? What about the people? They're the people in Koilo. They're the people that sin learn their whole lives.
Very different.
They also put out. I'm not saying they also put out people. They work. They do research on a certain topic. They put out. But you know, a lot of those some that are put out, if you do research, they don't have chidushim. They don't have, a lot of those are just compilations. You have someone that does research. You know, you take a topic. And you go and you use Eitzra Chachma, and you basically collect everything, every single thing that exists in that was ever written, and you analyze it, and you synthesize it, and you represent it, you repackage it. Many scholars today are just basically repackaging of things. People with technology today, you know, you can search and you can find things, and you can put things together in a very beautiful way, which in the past could not have been done. But it's not original. It's not original. The Art Scroll Gemara, the Masifta, they don't want original chidushim. If their writers would write something original, they would say, "Excuse me, we're not. This is not a Art Scroll Gemara. Is not here. It's not your platform to tell us your chidushim. We're hiring you to translate the Gemara, to elucidate the Gemara, and the footnotes cite the relevant commentators." Cite Taisvis, you want to go cite some of the Rishonim and Achron Tulsa. We're not asking for your Chidushim. If you go to the Svarim store and you want to find a Sefer that has Chidushim, new ideas, new concepts, new Chidushim, 90% of those are written by people who have actually debated, who actually gave Shiurim and communicated their ideas with other people as they studied with them. Yosem Mikulam. And in the process of learning Becharus or giving Shiurim, things pop into their head.
Right.
And wow. And no one says that. We have a question, and the question is Tzarchin, and we've come up with an answer which really is worthy of being preserved. That's exactly what the Giz Chazal says. The Gemara goes to all the different people upon whom the Shekhinah rests. 10 people, 5 people, 3 people, 2 people, 1 person. The Gemara says, so if the Shekhinah is resting upon an individual who's sitting in the Beis Medrash and is going to the Gemara again, 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 and he knows it, so what then is the benefit of 2 people learning together? And the answer is what it says now, Pasuk, Vayikosev sefer zikaron lifanav. Chaz, know what this means? Well, we just learned a few moments ago. It means in Shemayim, there's a book of sefer hazikaron of the Yirei Shemayim people who did Torah mitzvahs, and their good deeds were put away in Shemayim. According to Chazal, you know what it means? You go into Big Elizin in Borough Park, or go into Eichler's on Coney Island, or Judaica Place on Avenue M, that's what it means. That's what it means. Vayikosev sefer zikaron. When two people learn together, the dialogue, the give and take, creates a dynamic that cannot possibly exist when a person learns on his own. And this dynamic brings forth a degree of prophecy, almost, if you can say that word, of Chidushei Torah, that the result is you come forth with new ideas that are worthy to be preserved. Vayikosev, you and your Harusa will write down what you have studied, Sefer Zikaron Lefanav, and it will be put in writing and preserved here on Avenue M, Coney Island, and in Borough Park. And that's what it says in Chazal. That's what Chazal. So you have Mamre, we're going Mikotz El Akos. You go to the Malbum, he's telling you these very esoteric things, that this world is an Olam HaSheker, Olam HaDimyon, and a person does mitzvah, no one cares. You're not going to get reward in this world. You think someone's going to reward you in this world? You're in dreamland. But yet, a person should serve Hashem l'shem Shemayim, and your good deed will be recorded and put away in Shemayim in the Sefer HaZikaron for L'Oselavo in the next world. Chazal, don't confuse me with the next world. Let's talk Tachlis. Let's talk this world. And the Pasuk is discussing two chavrusa, it's learning better, learn with the chavrusa, and discuss things, you'll have chidushim, and you'll be able to put them in writing and preserve it. Let's go further. One of my favorite halachot in davening, we say in davening, we're saying b'libeinu, l'hovin b'lahaskil. Rav Pam really says most of the vart. I'm just adding one little kinach. We say in davening, in Ahav Rabba, we're saying b'libeinu, l'hovin b'lahaskil, l'shmoya l'lmod, ulalameid, lishmar, v'lasos, ulakayim. Rav Pam says, what in the world is the word v'lasos doing in Ahav Rabba? V'lasos? The entire bracha of Ahav Rabba is about learning Torah. It's not about doing. Doing? As we're not discussing the bracha is a bracha to learn and study Torah, not to do, not mitzvahs. What's going on? So you'll tell me, Pashup Shah means, you tell me the highest level of learning is Lasuke Shmaitza Aliba de Hilchasa. You'll tell me the goal is you shall learn with such clarity that you'll be able to write like Rav Yosef Cairo. You'll write the tour, and then you'll write the Shulchan Aruch. Halacha l'mais. Okay, that's pshat. So Rav Pam says Einochanami. That's a very nice pshat, but I'll tell you the real pshat. And that is, you know what it means? Lasos. It means original chidushei Torah. Create a new idea. The same bilibein. It's all learning. Not even halacha l'maisa, lahavin ulahaskil l'shmoya lilmod ulalameid lishmar to review the laasois to be mechadesh new ideas like Rabbi Mayevsky, he gives shiurim tonight. Rabbi Mayevsky is giving a shiur tonight. I encourage you all to listen. There are going to be 3,000 people calling in tonight. 3,000 people. Rabbi Mayevsky, I'll send out the telephone number. Blineder, there's an organization called what a name. You talk about a name. Sheer. I don't get through. I get five people. Yeah. It's called Sheer Enjoyment. Is that a good name? Sheer Enjoyment. Isn't that clever? It's very clever.
The word sheer is a
right. Sheer, not like sheer. You know, E E R, like a sheer. I E R. Sheerenjoyment.com. So they've been around for a very long time, like a Torah Anytime, sort of, right? But they do it over the telephone. Over the telephone, they have a website, and they work. They work on themselves to promote it. What?
There's a board.
There's a board?
He said something about that they want to start paying, so I don't know.
They've been working on this already for a couple of years, and they built up already to, they just acquire new technology because they outgrew the old technology, and now they're at a level where they have basically short shiurim every night, And Rabbi Mayevsky gives a shiur on Tuesday night, and there are about 3,000 people from all over the world that call in. Would you believe the 3,000 people? So tonight at 9:50, they have a new toll-free number. I'll send it out, Bli Neder, 9:50 tonight, 3,000 people. Shiur enjoyment. And Rabbi Mayevsky, he's Mekayim La'asois. La'asois is, Rabbi Pam says, novel ideas. To be Mechadish, La'asois. That's why it's in the bracha. It doesn't mean to do, because the bracha of Ahav Rab is not about doing. It's about being Mechadish. So I wanted to add to that. And what's the next word? Ulekayim. Just because the person is Mechadish, has a new Chiddish, tomorrow, you know, what you Mechadish something. So what do you, what, you forget very quickly. You have to publish, to preserve it. Tchelas Mordechai. You have to preserve it. Same bilibain lohavin, to understand, lahaskil, different words of understanding. We said lohavin, lahaskil, lishmoya, lilmod, ulalamed, lishmar, to guard, vilaasois, to be machadesh, ulikayim, and then to preserve, to publish your chidushei Torah. Okay, that is what it says over here. Us did we Hashem Ishoriyahu, by Yaksha Hashem by Yishmo, Hashem listens to the Chidushim, Hashem's listening to Yashir, and by Yikosev Sefer Zikar, and Lifan of according to what it's saying over here, that it's going to be written, it's going to be published. Now, interestingly, Yiri Hashem will Choyishre, it says it twice. Who is Takazoch the Mechadish Torah? You need Yir Hashemayim. People that are lacking Yir Hashemayim, they're not going to be Zoch to Mechadish Chidushim Torah. You have to have Yiras Shemayim. And that's this famous Chazal from Pirkei Avos.
Sifrei Halacha,
yeah.
Hashutim should always have Chidushim in it.
Sifrei Halacha is the most dangerous game in the business. I once asked Gedalia Zlatowitz many years ago by a Shalom Zach. I was talking to Shalom, it was many years ago, and his father, Zachar Levach, was alive, and I was talking to him all about art school, and he was telling me a lot of secrets. And this goes like so many. He told me many years ago, he says to me, they have, this is how many years ago this was, at least 15 years ago. He says, we have had in his hands, on his desk, the first chelik of Shulchan Aruch, like the Art School Gemara, all done, ready to go, ready to print. Push a button, the whole thing, they had the best people sit and take the Shulchan Aruch and elucidate it with the footnotes galore, ready to go. We're not publishing it. We're not going to publish it. Why? Because he says to me, halacha, anything that we touch in halacha, we get blown up in.
Right.
Because
right.
Halacha,
it's
a very dangerous game. Halacha, they're so, I'm like so shocked. We'll learn after the break. We'll talk about standing and sitting.
That's why the Shulchan Aruch was put the cherem in his life.
Halacha, even you would think, even today in America, the melting pot, the article sitter basically, you know, was machria and everything. But you know, even like we learn after the second part, the different parts of davening that you stand and sit. So, you know, I grew up, I thought, I read things there I never heard of before. What? You're telling me that this part of davening you're supposed to stand for? I never heard of this. When I was young, they taught us davening very well. And in the MTJ, it's one good thing they learned in MTJ, we had very good rebbeim, they taught us how to daven. And then when I was in Chaim Berlin, what? And they were very, right, you know, Rabbi Odak. You know Rabbi Odak, right?
That was first grade.
Rabbi Odak, no, he was third grade.
He really moved up.
He was Rabbi Odak. He was very, that was one of the really, very, very good. You know,
he
stuck with me.
The
and then what was really, really good was when I was in Chaim Berlin in sixth, seventh, eighth grade. It was really, really good. After davening, every day, they were very tough with davening. You don't come to davening, you're finished. You chop your head off. And after davening was of every single day, Rabbi Klein, Rabbi Shlomo Klein, he gave a shiur to the whole, all three grades together, and davening. Like, it was short, but he went through the davening very, very, very precisely, and they were very good with. They were very tough, very strict with coming every single day, and after davening to go through every step of the davening. And they brainwashed me, both in the MTJ and in Chaim Berlin, they brainwashed me. This is the way you do it. This is when you stand, this is when you sit, bidiyuk, and there's no and if or buts, and that's how it goes. And then I'm looking over here at the sefer, over here is like, what? Yeah, it says in this sefer, and this sefer, this sefer, yeah, I never heard of these svarim. And if I did hear of these svarim, it's not the way we do it.
Right.
It's not the way we do it. So the truth is, that's right, to each his own. Once you get involved in halacha, you're asking for trouble.
Listen,
you're
I'll
asking
tell you a
question for trouble.
That I long time ago, but I this week, for whatever reason, I counted. I remember my father telling me as a kid, why do you stay in my Mizmah David before the Chodoran and all? I mean, Bichol Chododi, because it has HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name 18 times.
No, but that's by Baruch Hashem Li'olam you're referring to. Baruch Hashem Li'olam, also?
No, yeah.
Okay.
That's what he is. That was what
Shmon
I learned
Esrei.
As a kid.
Okay.
Mizmah L'David is why you stand by the last Mizmah before the Chododi.
Okay.
Is because it has HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. In Yehichavot is 20.
Hashem's name
is 20 times in Yehichavot.
But Yehichavot is the most bizarre part of davening, because what is it? It's just a collection of psukim.
Right.
It's
that's
not a mizmar.
Right. No, you're right.
It's not a mizmar.
So,
someone just took.
That's why I don't know.
Right.
But I'm just
so
saying
no, you don't stand.
Times.
You don't stand for Yehichavot. You don't stand for Yehichavot. Okay, we'll do what else after. That's a carbon tumid. Carbonus. Okay, we're going to talk about that now. We're out of time, so we'll continue this tomorrow. Right now, take a very short break, and afterwards, we're going to learn about. But we'll continue our topic from. Yeah, even though I don't like to do it more than one day, but Meir insisted, so we're going to talk about. Continue discussing the sugya of standing and sitting during davening. That's some very interesting material from this little country, so we'll do that in a few moments.
Correction, I said it was Rabbi Yehuda Achazer. It was Rabbi Yehuda, the grandfather of the Mar...
Let it be Rabbi Yehuda Achazer. No, what's so bad?
They called him the
May
old
is my
chassid.
Grandmother's yard set. Yeah.
He was called the old Achazer. So.
Okay.
Yeah,
when you dial the
number,
you incorporate, you did hashtag or star 59.
No, so every single night, I never dial him. He always calls me. That's just, I don't know how it happened in the beginning. So he always calls me. He does it for me. He calls in. I'm sitting and waiting at the time, and he calls in. And that's
he does it for you.
He calls
because
in.
Because one of the guys that said, the guy, he came to cheer here one time, he programmed my phone for me so that I just pressed dial and everything happened. But now, we didn't do it, but I think maybe he did it now, so I don't know. Maybe he put it in there. So you didn't have to dial anything.
I never dial in. He calls me. He calls me at exactly that time.
Oh,
okay. And he says, start.
Okay.
He says, start.
Yeah,
and then when he only... Because
I've been always calling him myself. But,
uh-huh.
Yeah, all right.
He asked me if I can go to me. He gave me the number, and I messed up.
Yeah.
And then once his assistant, he has an assistant that calls something.
Whatever.
Yeah, I also...
He said, the board vote. I said, the board? What kind of board? I thought you do. He said,
yeah.
No. So he told me there's four people that there's a board.
They
voted to do this. He didn't want to do it, but they need... He said something about they voted to start paying or whatever. So I don't know. I have no idea what he's talking about. I don't care. I'm not looking for money. But I just... You know, Baruch Hashem.
That's
I never take money for anything like this, but all right, listen. But it's true, when I give shia, it kills me sometimes, but I prepare a blot, and then I'm saying it, and invariably, when I'm saying it out loud, somebody asks me a shaila, and when I'm explaining it to them, that's when I first really understand myself.
Of course. Any of the business.
Putting
HaKadosh.
It into.
There's a Ruach HaKadosh. That's talking, learning. There's a Ruach HaKadosh.
That's when I.